Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
You better watch out.
You better not cry.
You better not pout, I'm telling you why.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
He sees you when you're in sleep mode.
He knows when you're awake.
He knows when you've been bad or good. So buy a PC and not a Mac this holiday season or any other time, for goodness sake. Oh, come on. Oh, what? What? I thought those were the lyrics. I mean, that's how I learned it.
Hello, and welcome to the Goldcast Best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah, joining me today. The ladies love him. The children, they want to tell him what they want for Christmas. Buster Kine is here.
Hey.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Because of the beard. Yeah. Santa Claus joke.
I just need to get it a little bit wider. I got some streaks going. Give me a couple years and I'll be there.
Also joining us, we're going to try this one out. He wears bells on his wrist, so his London handshakes are that much merrier. Leander Caney is here.
Hey. Hello, Erfan. Hello, Buster.
A little jingle when you shake him.
Yeah.
Happy holidays. That really hurt.
Well, I shanked
that really
them,
hurts, and I feel like I should contact HR.
Yeah, that was Lewis.
But I'm also really in the Christmas spirit now, so I'm not sure how to feel. Oh, my goodness. This week, we got some good news about AirPods, I think. We've got some rumors about iPhone 8. Rumors about iPhone 8. How long ago did the iPhone 7 come out? Was it like 2 months ago?
Yeah.
We're already talking about iPhone 8. I'm going to tell you about my experience almost building a Hackintosh, and I almost did it. I was on the verge. I was on the verge of ordering everything, and then I stopped and decided that a Hackintosh was not for me, and I'll tell you guys why, and some of you actually may find this interesting. Before we hop into the news, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Squarespace.com is where you need to go if you would like to build a beautiful website quickly, a responsive website that is going to look good on any device that visits, be it an iPhone, a Windows device, a MacBook Pro. A Squarespace website is automatically scaled, so it looks great on any device that visits. And you can build a beautiful website that looks completely custom. It will look like it was hand-coded, but you don't have to know how to code at all. Everything is drag and drop, but it's incredibly intricate and powerful. You can adjust every little thing, colors, fonts, positioning. I mean, you name it. We could both build a Squarespace website and our sites would look totally different and totally unique to us. This is all possible via Squarespace's drag and drop system. They have a wonderful focus on design, so everything looks beautiful. Even the interface that you use to build your website looks beautiful. And now they have integrated not just credit card payments, but they've integrated Apple Pay. So if you build an e-commerce website, which is included in your Squarespace subscription, you can accept Apple Pay. And now you can accept PayPal. They have just started a PayPal integration. It's in beta currently, but you can still use it. And so you can literally accept payments from all the major platforms, which of course is great when you have an e-commerce website. You want to make it as easy for people to pay as possible. You can start with a free trial at squarespace.com. Build a website. You have 2 weeks to build it, try it out. And if you like what you have at the end of the trial, you can continue your service. Use code CULTCAST at checkout. You will save 10% off your order. That could be a month of service or a year of service if you really wanted to save a lot. Plus, if you order a year, you will get a free domain name. Squarespace.com. Have you guys ever thought about building a Hackintosh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just ordered a bunch of parts to build one.
You did?
Yeah.
So you're going to build a Hackintosh for yourself. Why did you decide to do that?
My son's going to build it. He talked me into it.
Nice.
What was his reason for wanting one?
Because he's into gaming, and he wanted me to buy him a Windows machine, and that was just a big no-no. So I said, well...
Not in the Caney household. You're like, at the very least, it has to run OS X.
Right, exactly. So, you know, but I thought we'd get double duty out of it. You know, he can run Windows if he wants. Yeah. But he can also run Mac OS X. And he's going to do a post out of it, right? So we've got to get some
fantastic
content. Yeah.
Then you can write it off, too. That's the important part. So I was going to do the exact same thing. I was... I was disappointed by the new MacBook Pros. I just wanted something that was just, you know, really powerful. I wanted a powerhouse, like a freaking a monster truck. I wanted a monster truck Mac. That's what I really wanted. And the MacBook Pros, the new ones, just weren't quite as powerful enough for me. And I was thinking, you know, why not just build a Hackintosh? You could probably, you know, build a really nice one for $1,200 and put in the most premium of hardware into a $1,200 PC. And I got super into it. I had everything figured out and I had all the parts ready to order. But what I eventually figured out is even though you could build a amazing gaming machine or just a regular Mac, if you want to use it for Final Cut Pro, you have to get a AMD graphics card because Final Cut Pro is really only extremely compatible with Final Cut Pro. You can use an NVIDIA card, but it's not going to be nearly as fast because NVIDIA cards aren't optimized for Final Cut Pro, and that's what I wanted. I wanted a video editing machine. And what I found out was because Apple has such lame support for graphics cards in their own computer line, they don't support graphics cards. And this totally makes sense, right? They don't support the graphics cards available in the marketplace. You can't just go buy a graphics card, an AMD graphics card, and have it work.
Right.
So ultimately what I decided was like, it's just, if you're trying to build like a Final Cut Pro 10 machine, you really can't build a Hackintosh because your graphics card is going to be not really that compatible. But you can do an awesome one if you're trying to build a gaming machine. You can put an NVIDIA card in there and it will be, you know, a fantastic computer. Or you can just do the stock, you know, Intel graphics, integrated graphics. What did you guys end up doing, Leander? Did your son just do it? You know, you're like, here's the credit card.
Kind of. He actually, the graphics card hasn't shown up yet. He I think it was a GeForce something.
Yeah, so he ordered an NVIDIA card.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. It was sort of middle of the road, middle of the pack. $350, I think, which I was like, what?
Dude, that's middle? That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good one. Okay.
Is that what he told you? He's like, Dad, this is middle of the pack.
Well, no, because you can spend a lot more on a graphics card, can't you? I mean, you can spend $700 or more.
You could spend $1,000 if you wanted to.
Right. Yeah. So I said, you know, not the, you know, he wanted something that was pretty good and pretty good, powerful. And he did a bunch of research. I don't know all the exact details. He got an i7 CPU and, I'm not sure what the motherboard was. The motherboard's kind of one of the cheapest components. I was like, what? How can they, you know, the CPU costs three times as much and the GPU costs three times as much as the motherboard.
Right.
And it doesn't come with, you know, and then you had to get a Wi-Fi card and a Bluetooth USB adapter.
Bluetooth, right.
Yeah. I was like, isn't that built into the motherboard? How come those things aren't built into the motherboard? Bluetooth and Wi-Fi.
Well, some of them do have that built in, but a lot of them in PC motherboards just don't have it built in. Yeah. You're right, because it's built into all the notebooks, right? So you would kind of presume that it would be included in any motherboard purchase.
Yeah, right, yeah. But and then the biggest, ugliest case you've ever seen.
Yeah, that's what you need when you're building a PC. Is it beige?
No, it's black.
Oh, does it have a window on the side with,
yeah, I know,
with
so
lights?
Yeah, so I can, like, and then he's going to trick it out with all this neon, ugly neon stuff.
That's the best, man. I love that stuff. I went to PAX this last year, the Penny Arcade Expo, and they had like this competition of people building custom PCs, and they're all tricked out, and it looks like Exhibit was there, you know, like putting motherboards on their motherboards, and there's all these blue lights stuffed in these things. I just love that. It's totally gaudy,
yeah.
But I just think it's glorious just to have like this big glowing humming machine sitting on your desk as like an art piece.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think it's so cool.
Right.
Well, it's such a bummer. If you want to build a Hackintosh, it's actually a lot easier than I thought it was going to be.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's super easy.
What about use it? Why don't you just switch to, you know, Adobe Premiere? Use that instead.
I thought about doing that, but all the benchmarks I've seen for Adobe Premiere, it's just so much slower than Final Cut Pro. And so even though the Mac hardware in the new MacBook Pros isn't exactly screaming fast, you get screaming fast performance because Final Cut Pro is one of the best non-linear editing pieces of software that's out there. And so you can use it on a Mac and still blow away a computer that's twice as powerful, even though it has better hardware. So that's what I was going for, right? The ultimate Final Cut machine. And because you could build a kick-ass Hackintosh for like $800-$900.
Yeah.
And you would have a screaming fast Mac. But, you know, again, if you're looking to do Final Cut Pro, you really are kind of locked into getting an Apple product for that, because the support for GPUs is just not there in Apple's software, which really sucks. It's like they're not putting great graphics cards into their hardware, and they don't even support, you know, great graphics cards, like third-party great graphics cards. So you're kind of stuck unless you want to just do like a gaming machine like what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I'm curious just to hear, like once you guys have that thing built, Leander, you guys should do some like Geekbench benchmarks and compare it to like, you know, right, other available Macs.
Yeah, yeah.
How much did you spend total on it?
About $1,100 so far. Because I just realized, he's like, yesterday, he's like, oh yeah, I forgot the monitor. So I was like, oh, what? Great.
Oh.
Oh, great. Great, great, great.
That's going to be another, you know, $300-$800, depending on what he gets.
Oh, it's really ugly.
You could get a nice monitor over $200.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. How much are like 4K sort of retina type monitors? I was a bit confused about that because I was trying to look it up. You know, what is a retina monitor? What's the resolution for, you know, what Apple would consider a retina monitor? And I guess it's actually sort of something like 5K, isn't it?
Well, I mean, the resolution is different than the dots per square inch or the pixels per square inch. And I think in order for it to be retina, Apple's measurement changes depending on their device, because I think the part of the measurement takes into account how far away the screen is going to be from your face.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And how many pixels need to be included per square inch so that you can't actually identify the pixels with your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the iPhone is, I'm totally going to get this wrong. I don't know the current iPhone, but isn't it like around 221?
I was going to say, yeah, that's what I thought it was, yeah.
So it's something like that. It might even be a little bit higher. But so that's the thing with a monitor. I don't even know if they make retina monitors besides that new LG monitor that just came out, because you could have a 4K monitor that just doesn't have the pixels packed into a 1-inch area. And so you still have a 4K monitor, but it's not retina.
Yeah. What's the PPI of a 4K monitor? Do you know?
Oh, I have no idea. It probably completely varies depending from one manufacturer to the other.
Right. Well, I got a 5K iMac, you know, in front. I'm about, you know, 3 inches from the screen, and it's absolutely wonderful, of course, but, yeah.
You're 3 inches from the screen with your spectacles on the end of your
right,
nose.
Exactly. I have to move my head from one end of the screen to the other, you know, to see what's going on.
Screen is only 27 inches, right?
Yeah.
See, that's a lot of pixels for 27 inches, because I've seen 34-inch screens that are 4K, and your screen is, what, 7 inches smaller diagonally, and you have 1,000K more than a lot of like the popular monitors that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
So that must be why yours is retina, because they really just pack everything into that one tiny little space.
Yeah, yeah.
That's insane. So anyway, for those of you who have ever considered building a Hackintosh, dude, I would go for it. If you don't need a Final Cut Pro machine, you can build a kick-ass computer for under $1,000, as I said, and it will be something that, from what I've read, will run OS X almost flawlessly, because there's websites that are dedicated to testing out hardware and showing you which hardware works and which doesn't. So as long as you stick to the list of the hardware that they've tested, you're almost guaranteed to have a successful build.
Right.
Although you will be violating, we should probably disclose, you will be violating Apple's EULA, and you know, the Apple security force might come to your house to
take it away, yeah.
And you'll wind up in the basement of the spaceship campus where Johnny Ive will sure to be performing experiments on you. It's the price you pay. It's the risk you take. Let's move on. Let's talk about AirPods. We got, I don't know if this is true or not, but if it is, this is very encouraging. Apparently, some disgruntled Apple customer sent an email to Tim Cook asking where the AirPods were, and Tim Cook actually replied. Do you guys think this is real?
Possibly. I don't know. It's not, like, Phil Schiller's done it in the past. I don't know if they've ever said something about like a release date, though. That's the thing that makes
it
questionable.
That was surprising, wasn't it? Yeah. He gave such an explicit answer. But what was more surprising is, here's the customer's email. This was obtained by Mac Rumors. Here's what the customer emailed. give us a release date.
Yeah.
No hello, hi Tim. No, hey Tim, I hope you get to read this. Nothing.
Just really? It was just give us a release date?
It was, well, it
give
was
us
like,
a release date. Yeah. I really bought into the wireless vision you painted, ellipses. Let us know if it's a month or 6 months, because then I'll just buy some other wireless headphones. That's it. That's the email. And to that, Tim Cook allegedly replied, thanks for your note, y'all. Sorry for the delay. We are finalizing them, and I anticipate we will begin to ship over the next few weeks, which, of course, would mean in December, which would be amazing. But, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, if you're going to email Tim Cook to send this, this is, like, so terse and rude. I can't imagine someone would actually send this to him. But MacRumor said they verified the header information, which was accurate.
Right.
Although that stuff can be spoofed, so it doesn't necessarily prove this whole thing was real. But if it is, that means we're getting AirPods by the end of December, which also seems weird, right? To release these things like two or three days or maybe a week before Christmas?
Yeah, not ideal. But they had promised them, right? So they had to get them out sooner than later.
Right.
Yeah, they promised these things in October when they launched the iPhone 7. And didn't they say that the delivery date was going to be the end of October?
They never set the delivery date, did they?
I believe it was October or early November or something like that.
It was soon after that event, wasn't it, when they unveiled them? I mean, people were expecting it to be like within a couple of weeks or so.
I thought so. Yeah, because when was the October event? It was early October, wasn't it? It was like the 10th or the 11th or something. So I thought that they had promised them later in October. Anyway, so this might mean that there's a end date in sight, and I hope that's right because I'm still excited about these. I can't stop thinking about AirPods. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited to get my hands on them. And
I've forgotten all about them, actually.
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah. But
unbelievable.
Yeah, you're right, though. I'm excited again.
You have little faith. Now you're excited again that I brought them up. You're like, yeah, I want those.
Right.
There's just nothing else like them that I've seen on the market.
Well,
I've seen aftermarket products.
There's a lot of those other, you know, Buster, you know, what about those ones? Are you still using those ones you were working with?
Oh, I lost them on my way back home. I'm so mad.
You gotta be freaking kidding me.
Dude, I was like getting on the plane and I was like, oh no, I must have left them in like the security bin or something.
Oh no.
But yeah, until then, they were great.
By the way, speaking of you losing things and breaking things, I emailed DJI and I was like, hey, you know, like we would love to test out that new Phantom Pro.
Yeah.
And they emailed me back and the guy was like, he's like, hey, would you mind not crashing this one into a cliff? I was like, yeah, dude, if you had seen Buster drive a car, you probably wouldn't send something to the drone.
Well, I just got that drone back.
You did?
Today, yeah, they already repaired it. I'm going to go fly it as soon as this cast is over.
Nice. I actually told them, I was like, dude, I'm impressed Buster flew that Mavic into a cliff.
Well, okay, and they admitted that it was their fault, though. Like
they did?
Yeah, it should have detected the cliff. That's why I was surprised.
It should have, right? I mean, it has all that optical...
They have. It's got like infrared sensors that go out on the side at an angle, so it should have seen it.
Right, it has all that obstacle detection built in.
Crash avoidance system or something
right.
like that.
I'm like, it's a freaking cliff, man. I'm like, and that's what I told the guy. I'm like, I was impressed that Buster crashed into a cliff. It's a cliff.
Yeah.
How do you miss a cliff, you know?
I'm impressed it ginormous crashed cliff. And came back, though. That was pretty awesome. So... Yeah,
it just barely hovered back, and then it just broke down. Steam came out of it.
Yeah,
it is amazing, isn't it? That thing was able to fly itself all the way back to you after running itself into a cliff.
Yeah,
because you said you had lost control of it completely, right?
Yeah, because I also flew it behind the cliff. Right. They told me they were like, "Well, it looks like you lost connection because you flew it behind the cliff." And I was like, "Yeah, that's true." And then it crashed. It tried to come home, and it crashed into the cliff. And I was like, "Yeah."
But isn't that thing supposed to be able to fly itself back? I mean, that's one of the features. Is if you lose track of it, it's supposed to like activate its return home mode.
Yeah, yeah, it does, and it did. It just didn't see the cliff for some reason.
It just didn't do it fast enough.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. Yeah, so try not to break that one, would you?
Yeah.
Our iPhone or Phantom 4 Pro review is counting on you not crashing that thing into another cliff. So be gentle with it. Only fly it in like open spaces, land it ever so gently. Let's talk about iPhone 8. It's hard to believe that we're already getting rumors for iPhone 8 because we're only like, what, 2-3 months from iPhone 7. And yet here we are. And according to the saints of Apple analysts, Ming-Chi Kuo, he who knows all, he's expecting this to be, and we've talked about this before, this is going to be a huge monster, to use that word again, monster iPhone. This is going to be the 10-year anniversary of the iPhone, and seeing as the iPhone 7 was such a small, minute update from the iPhone 6S and the 6, I think we're in for something massive. And Ming-Chi Kuo said, Apple is scaling up iPhone productions to 100 to 150 million units in the second half of 2017. If true, this would be well above the 110 to 120 million units Apple ordered of its best-selling iPhone 6 handsets. Kuo claims this is unprecedented demand, and it will be centered around the myriad of big improvements Apple has planned for its next-gen iPhone series. How do you guys like the iPhone 7? We've all been using it for, 3 months now? Well, Leander, how are you liking it so far?
Yeah, fantastic. It's great.
I mean, but compared to the iPhone 6S?
Well, you know, not it's the same old iPhone experience. I like the camera. You know, I've been using the camera a lot. I've been doing all those portrait photos.
Yeah.
I've been doing more and more of those.
I totally forgot that was even a thing.
The headphone jack. I'm trying to plug it into my car. I don't have a Bluetooth stereo in my car. So yeah. I was relying on the old headphone jack, you know, an aux jack. So that was the only time I was remembered that it was an iPhone 7 was when I tried to plug it in. Of course, you know, there's nothing to plug it into.
I can't tell you how many times I've had that happen to me. Is I have a pair of headphones with me, and then I realize they don't work with my iPhone because, you know, I have a huge collection of headphones from previous iPhones,
right.
And they all, you know, are the headphone jack, and yeah. I never have the dongle with me, of course, because why would I carry that with me?
Right.
I need to like carry that in my wallet or something, honestly.
Yeah, there's a really nice, I saw this thing on the web the other day. It's a little keychain holder for it, the dongle. It's super clever. It's actually like a 3.5 millimeter jack that has a ring on it. So you just plug it in. It has a lightning type connector. Mm-hmm. No, what am I talking about? I don't know how it works. I think
it has a male
I think. It has a male. Headphone jack.
It is. It's male.
And so you plug the female one into it, and it holds it there, and the lightning end is hanging free. But it looked clever.
As lame as that would be to have to carry those around, it actually would be useful, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You just put it on your key ring. You know, it'd be totally helpful.
I was super interested in their nipple ring version of that. Did you see
them carry
those as well?
No, I didn't see that one.
You just hook it right in, and then you're good to go. And it's like, oh, I need to listen to headphones. You reach into your shirt and produce this jack, and everyone's like, ooh, right. Fancy.
Oh, it's making me cringe just thinking about it.
Oh, don't be so judgmental. You have nipple rings, don't you? I mean, I've got two or three.
I took them out years ago.
Oh, you did. Back when you used to listen to like The Clash and stuff, though, that's when you had it for sure, huh?
Right.
That's what I thought.
My pierced phrase, yeah.
Before we talk about some of the big features coming to iPhone 8, because Ming-Chi Kuo went on to elaborate on what he thought was going to be the big feature on the iPhone 8. Let me go ahead and say thank you to Casper for supporting this episode. Casper Mattresses. Did you know Casper Mattresses were voted one of the best inventions of 2015 by Time Magazine. And if you've ever laid on one, they are so extraordinarily comfortable. They have just the right amount of latex and memory foam. So they have a good amount of spring, a good amount of bounce. And yet you kind of sink right into it. Not too much. It doesn't swallow you whole, but it just kind of like alleviates all the pressure points in your back. And if you wake up with like sore limbs, or if your hands are asleep, or if your legs are asleep, oftentimes it's because your mattress, like that pressure pressing up on you, is pressing on something and it's making your body angry. And so if you're waking up with pains, or if maybe you're just not sleeping in a comfortable mattress, you have some hand-me-down from your family, the great thing about Casper is you can get one for a song. They're so inexpensive, especially when compared to other premium mattresses. It's just no comparison. You know, premium mattresses can cost, you know, $1,500, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. You can get a Casper mattress a twin size for $500, $750 for a full, $850 for a queen, $950 for a king. The great part is you can test this out in your home risk-free for 100 nights. They'll send it to you. It comes in this really compact box. You lay it out, prop your old mattress up against the wall, try it out for 100 nights, and if you don't love it, Casper will pick it up and refund you 100% of your money. It's absolutely risk-free to you. The Casper mattresses are made in America. They have free shipping to and free returns to the U.S. and Canada, and now they're making a canine version of their popular bed. So if you have a big old pooch who is sleeping on the ground or sleeping in your bed, and you're like, yeah, we need to get this dog out of my bed and onto his own bed. They make the same memory foam mattress for your dog now in all these different sizes. You can check it out for yourself. Head on over to casper.com/cultcast. Read the reviews. Honest reviews from people about their Casper mattresses. You can check them out for yourselves. Casper.com/cultcast. And if you use the offer code cultcast at checkout, you can get $50 towards the purchase of any mattress. Casper.com/cultcast. Let's talk about the iPhone 8 glass design, Buster.
Glass design. Are you excited to get iPhone 8? You know what? That's actually kind of got me thinking maybe I should get the new whatever it is, the iPhone 7 Plus. Because I,
really?
Well, I don't know if a all glass case iPhone is the best for me. Glass breaks really easily.
That's a very astute observation on your part. Yeah. You need like the titanium edition.
Yeah.
Titanium edition with the GPS tracker. that's the one that you should probably get.
Yep.
Yeah, the glass one is gorgeous though. Remember the iPhone 5, how seamless and beautiful that was?
Yeah.
I think one is one of iPhone's best designs. Rumor has it, Ming-Chi Kuo was saying that Apple is going to make a return to glass. And I thought the reason was interesting as well. He was saying that the big feature on the iPhone 8 is going to be wireless charging. Now, we've talked about wireless charging before. There was a report from Bloomberg earlier this year that Apple was working to develop wireless charging and overcome some of the obstacles with wireless charging, including like loss of power over distance. And many of you, when you think of wireless charging, you're probably thinking you lay your phone down on like a mat and it charges. But do you guys remember the conversation we had previously about what Apple was working on? This is not what they were working on. Like, their wireless charging technology charged your phone wirelessly while it was in your pocket or in the room. It doesn't need to be on a mat. Do you recall this?
Based on a patent, right?
Yeah, and they had purchased like another company that was working on this technology. Now, that would be a kick arse feature.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine being able to have your iPhone across the room and have it be charging wirelessly without being plugged in. Like, that is a killer feature. Am I right?
Yeah.
Although it would kind of make me nervous to have it in my pocket next to...
Right, your jewels.
Yeah. The old family
exactly.
jewels.
Exactly, right. Yeah, it uses some kind of, you know, focused microwave beam.
Beam shot directly at your reproductive area.
This room hasn't cropped up for a while, has it? So...
No, but this was one of the big reasons that Apple was reportedly working on an all glass iPhone, because they apparently can't do this with a metal iPhone because it heats up the metal.
I see, right.
And so that's one of the reasons that Apple hasn't built in wireless charging, as far as I understand it, to the previous or the current generation iPhones or the previous generation iPhones. Although it would be a killer feature. And I know I get hyper optimistic. You know, when I hear information like this, and I was pretty optimistic for the Mac event, and we had this whole episode where we imagined all the things Apple was going to be releasing, and it was the most amazing Apple keynote that they've had in the last 20 years, and then we ended up with a new MacBook Pro. So, in with that perspective, I want to temper some of my excitement and say, oh, I'm pretty excited for the iPhone 8, but it's looking like it might turn out to be one of the most incredible iPhones Apple's ever built, and something that is truly innovative and not just, you know, a iteration of current technology. At least I hope. That's my hope.
Right. I know that it takes like 3 years to get a whole new platform, you know, if they're going to make any big changes like that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So how long has this, the current sort of form factor been around?
Well, this is the third year, isn't it? I mean, 6, 6S, 7.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the timing's about right, isn't it? Although there was lots of rumors they were going to do it this year, weren't they?
Yeah, there were rumors they were going to do it this year as well. And this
is the first time, yeah, the 7 has actually sort of broken that two-year, you know, the two-year cycle. Normally, because normally it's a two-year cycle, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's historically been 2 years. And I wonder if, who knows, if this is going to be an anomaly. Maybe Apple just needed to stall for a year. And so they're like, let's just use the 6 body. We'll stuff some extra stuff in there. We'll call it a 7.
Right. Yeah.
We'll be happy. Although I will say, I do like my iPhone 7 a lot, but sometimes I forget it's a 7 and I just think that I have the 6S still. But the dual lens camera is actually pretty great.
It's speedy, really nice, speedy phone. No problems with, no glitches, no slowdowns, no crashes. You know, it's rock solid, isn't it? And I have it caseless as well. I've been using it caseless for a long time. Dropped it a couple of times. Nothing really heavy, but, you know, no dings, no scratches, no, it's the piano black one and it hasn't got all messed up yet.
Still going caseless, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, just looking. Actually, good luck well,
with that.
There's a few. It doesn't look too bad, you know.
And you haven't dropped it yet.
I've dropped it a couple of times, but nothing, not from a really great height onto it. Nothing devastating. Yeah, it hasn't broken. I'm surprised because usually I ding it somehow.
Yeah. I almost always drop my iPhone within the first week of owning it.
Yeah.
Which is funny because it's when I'm the most careful with it.
Right.
And yet somehow it always seems to like fall onto a concrete floor of some kind. Like when I was at the pool and it just jumped right out of my pocket and went on the concrete floor. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, right.
I won't drop it again for the entire year. But the first week that you own it, it's like flying a brand new drone into a cliff.
Right.
All right. Well, let's talk about some Netflix a little bit. We finally got the Netflix update we've all been waiting for, the one that was pushed by Amazon. Thank you to Amazon for pushing Netflix to do something that we've all wanted them to do. And that is they've added the ability to download shows and store them on your phone and watch them while you're offline. Such a huge feature.
About time, you know?
Dude, seriously, they've been talking about this for a year.
Yeah.
About doing this for a year.
I remember it was a year ago they were saying, oh no, people don't even want that, was like their excuse for not having it.
What?
Yeah, don't you remember that?
How can you possibly say that with a straight face that people don't even want to have this feature? It's preposterous.
Yeah, that's what I say, you know?
I mean, even if it's not something that you would use often, of course you'd want to have it. I mean, when you're traveling and stuff.
Oh, I would have used it on, the other day when I had just the worst flight ever.
How long was the flight?
It was like 4 hours, but it was, you know, I needed some entertainment to zone out the people around me, you know?
Yeah, or the terrible turbulence.
Oh, yeah. That always sucks.
Some serious stretch. Yeah. Yeah, or, you know, maybe you just have a bus ride or something, and you don't want to stream, you know, 4 gigabytes of data watching a movie or what have you.
Right.
So yeah, totally useful feature. But the one thing is, the one caveat is, for those of you who haven't tried it yet, it looks like it's pretty severely limited. Not all the programs, not all the movies are available to download locally. I mean, at this point, it seems like really it's just mostly Netflix content, like their own original content.
Yeah, well, isn't that the issue? It's like getting the licensing from the license holders.
Yeah, but Amazon did it. I mean, everything in Amazon's, well, I shouldn't say this definitively because I haven't actually checked, but my understanding is that almost, if not all, of Amazon's library is available to download locally, including the HBO stuff.
Huh.
So how can Amazon do it and Netflix can't is beyond me.
Yeah, right.
But there is a section in the Netflix app now that says available for download where you can actually go through and see what is available for download. And there's stuff here that isn't owned by Netflix. Oh, shoot. Yeah, look at that. Good Will Hunting available for download.
Oh, wow. Can't wait to watch that again.
Yeah.
The entire Star Trek The Next Generation television series, one of the best television series ever made. You can make
Never
that so
that.
Right now. So, yeah, it's still pretty cool, but unfortunately not available on all the content that Netflix has, but definitely a step in the right direction. Let's wrap up with this story. This is kind of a follow-up to something that we talked about last week. Was it last week or the week before? Apple is killing off their AirPort brand routers. But, and I think you wrote this story, Buster, there was a recent poll by JD Power that said Apple's routers scored better than everyone else's as far as satisfaction was concerned.
Yeah, and now they're dead.
And now they're dead forever.
Which I've always liked the AirPort, and you know, because it's super easy to use for a router.
Well, that was exactly what people said in this poll that that JD Power did. People said that they loved that the router was easy to set up. They loved the data speeds they got, and they liked that they didn't have to reset their routers. Every other router I've ever owned, you had to reset on a weekly basis. I don't know why, but what's crazy to me is AirPort routers were rated 5 stars, and it was the only company that was able to get a 5-star rating. And Apple, this isn't even their main business. You know, like, they're creating like routers as like a side business. And you have other companies that are making routers as like their main business, and they're still not even able to beat Apple. What Apple's doing as a hobby, other companies are not able to match as their prime business. How's that? That's crazy.
I know, and it's like not even important enough anymore for Apple to care about, you know?
Right. Yeah, they're just like, this only made us $5 billion last year, so we're going to have to scratch it. It's just not worth our time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what people are going to do either, because I need a new router, and I don't know what I'm going to buy. Like, what can
Luma,
you get?
Luma Aero. They're great.
Dude, the Luma's $500.
Well, the Aero is, but they've all dropped their prices. You know, like over they're offering 100, 150 off this week since Black Friday. So they're actually, you know, like cheaper now. But the Luma one is cheaper. I think it's $299 for a 3-pack. So yeah, you know, probably 3 times as expensive as the cheapest router. But
the time capsule is $300, so that's actually comparable.
Well, yeah, but you don't get a hard drive for this one. But you can plug in any hard drive into it, you know, like a USB drive.
And it works. Do they have like a 2-pack, Leander?
I think they just announced one, yeah.
Okay, that might be the one I go for. So yeah, I might try out one of those, but I'm going to miss the Apple router, man. I mean, it just, I love that your computer would automatically connect to you, like the faster network. You wouldn't have to do anything, you know. It would just automatically connect to 802.11n or 802.11ac, depending on like your signal strength and what have you. And every other router that I have used, you had to select that manually and handle that manually. And that's a huge pain in the arse. Like, who wants to do that? I don't even want to do that. And I like routers. You're like, most people are not going to want to mess with that stuff at all. So, right. I'll have to try one of those other ones out and see to see which one to go with. You said that the Luma is the one that you would recommend, right, Leander?
Yeah, the Luma is a slightly cheaper one. The Aero one, though, is really good, too, and even though it's more expensive. I mean, $500 is rich for a 3-pack. But
is it that much better, though?
Well,
extra money?
I was going to say no, but they've started adding new software features. So, okay. You know, like when I tested it out Aero, and then I got the Luma, and I've been testing out Luma for a little while, for a few weeks, and they seem to be sort of roughly equivalent. Luma had a few features that Aero didn't, that actually weren't that interesting to me, mainly to do with sort of managing, what device, like
data packets.
You could pause the whole internet, like at dinner time, you know, if you want the kids to come down for dinner, you could pause.
And the Luma had this?
Yeah, the Luma had this, and you could also pause individual devices, so you could set up certain times, you could set up certain windows for the kids to use the internet. Could limit, you know, like, so, but this kind of stuff I don't do, so I didn't really look into it. But anyway, cut long story short, Aero subsequently did a big software update where they added a bunch of new features, and so, you know, like, that I think is important, you know, because these are cloud-managed devices, and so, you know, keeping adding new features via software is really a good, attractive feature. And if Aero's doing that on a regular basis, then, you know, I think they definitely, even though they're more expensive, definitely something worth considering.
So you feel like the Aero is updating their platform more often.
And it looks like it's, you know, they're well funded. It's really popular. It's got a lot of it's getting a lot of momentum. Mm-hmm. So it looks like, you know, if the company keeps it up, yeah, I think it's definitely worth looking at.
Yeah, right. And it makes you nervous too. You want to go with the company that looks like they're going to be around a while,
right?
That's going to update their stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, they're both kind of like, I think Luma. I'm not 100% sure, but Luma, I get the impression that they're better funded. Just, you know, they've got a big. It looks like they've got a big operation and a lot of engineering behind it, a lot of money. But Luma, I think, is no slouch either. You know, the Luma stuff looks really good. And then, of course, people are talking about, I think, oh, goodness me. Is it Netgear has one? Netgear has a new
Netgear did just release one. I can't recall what the name of it, though.
And Google as well. You know, Google's got its new Wi-Fi stuff coming out. I haven't seen theirs, though. So there's a few in the space now that to choose from.
Yeah, that will take over Apple's spot for sure.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, these mesh routers definitely have a lot of promise.
They're, yeah, definitely,
something
yeah.
that I want to try for sure. But, okay, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all I guess for you guys. I know people love it when we talk about routers. I was going to get into data packet management and all that great stuff, but we'll have to save that for another episode. You guys keep them wanting more, eh, Gub? That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come say hi to us on Twitter, we'd love to hear from you. I'm at Arifon, Buster's BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday nights. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Next time.
Next time. I got a killer Kermit the Frog. I got a pretty decent Arnold Schwarzenegger, which I know you love.
Oh, my God, the Arnold Schwarzenegger thing. We were watching Arnold
Schwarzenegger. Put the cookie in the chopper.
Oh, my God. Both my sons do it now.
I know. That's why I said that.
Oh, my God.
We were watching, I don't even know what that's referring to. Put the cookie in the chopper.
It's a mashup. It's Predator meets... What was that one at Christmas time when he's trying to get some presents for his kids?
He's offering them cookies.
Yeah, what was it called? Oh, shit.
I don't know if I saw that one.
I don't think I've seen it either.
Jingle All the Way, isn't that what it's called or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Now I want to look this up here. Let's see here. Jingle All the Way. I think that's actually a Tim Allen movie. Oh no! It's Jingle All the Way. It is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Man, go me! It got a 17% Rotten Tomatoes score.
Oh really? It's a stinker. Yeah, no one. I've never seen it.
Your kids apparently love it.
I watched what's it called last night? Total Recall.
The new one or the old one?
No, the old one. The new one is just abysmal.
Is it really?
It's completely unwatchable. I watched how much could they screw it up? And I like Colin Farrell, who I think has been totally amazing in some stuff. But I watched about, I don't know, 20 minutes, and it was just, it was
couldn't even make it through it.
No, wow. It was terrible, terrible, terrible.
The original Total Recall is still so great.
It is a great movie, yeah. And it's totally bonkers, the whole plot. It actually kind of hangs together. It was written by the same team that wrote Alien.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I didn't either. And so I was like, I saw the credits. And I was like, oh, Dan O'Bannon and this other guy. And I was like, oh, wait a second. I recognize those names. And I did a quick search and it was like, yeah, the Alien team.
I thought it was Ridley Scott that wrote Aliens. Did he just direct it?
Yeah, he directed Alien, the first one. James Cameron did Aliens.
Oh, he did?
The follow-up, yeah.
Game over, man.
Right.
So good.
Bill Paxton, yeah. Great, 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 great performance.
One of Bill Paxton's greatest roles. So class. I mean, how can you make just saying that one line? it's so epic. People still quote it today.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And you know exactly how he feels, too. Exactly. He had a couple of great lines right after that, too. The next scene, you know, it's like when they're discussing how they're going to survive. And Ripley says, you know, well, Newt here, you know, this little girl, she survived here for 6 weeks on her own. Mm-hmm. He's like, what do you put her in charge? It's a great line.
That's great, man. Why don't we put her in charge?
Yeah, absolutely.